My guest at this time is California Congressman Dan Lundgren, Republican, representing the Golden State's 3rd Congressional District. He's a member of both the House Judiciary and Homeland Security Committees, and he joins me today to discuss his reaction to the president's Tuesday evening State of the Union address. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you again.
Well, a lot of different issues that the president raised that we want to get your reaction to, one of which, of course, is tax policy. The big fight before the Christmas break was over which version of payroll tax extensions were going to happen. The president saying it's time to end the drama and take care of that for the rest of the year. Republicans, of course, wanted the year-long extension. So what was your reaction to that characterization of where the debate stands?
Well, the president, I guess, is in a parallel universe. I mean, if you look at that, you also look at his statement or his statements that suggested that our economy is going gangbusters, that we're, are almost drowning in job creation and so forth, is so inconsistent with what the national numbers tell us, but particularly inconsistent with what I'm seeing back home in California, particularly my district. I think he was trying to start up the fight again over the payroll tax holiday. I'm not sure that he was successful in that last night because it was much of the same that we've had before. One of the things I thought that he missed on last night was basically stressing what the facts are and telling the American people that some of his policies had failed. That's why he was going to change some of them, and he wanted us to be with him, that sort of thing. I think the American people would have responded to that very positively. Even when he put some things together that I might agree with, such as saying that if we're going to do infrastructure projects, we need to have some reform of the environmental red tape. It was disjointed when he put that. What I would have hoped he would have said is, look, I made a mistake in joking about shovel-ready not being shovel-ready, but I've gone back and examined it and found out that these infrastructure projects weren't shovel-ready, not because they weren't good projects, but because, in fact, the environmental review and the litigation perils really stopped that. And therefore, I am calling on Congress to work with me to expedite the process or, in some cases, to go around what has been a extended environmental review. We didn't hear that sort of thing. I think that could have rallied people. Republicans would have been standing there saying, my God, he sounds more Republican than we are, and Democrats would have found themselves hard-pressed not to support that kind of an approach.
We're talking with California Congressman Dan Lundgren. And Congressman, tax rates, and particularly tax rates for the wealthy, were also part of the speech, as most people expected. Here's one of the critical statements the president made last night.
Do we want to keep these tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, or do we want to keep our investments in everything else, like education and medical research, a strong military, and care for our veterans? Because if we're serious about paying down our debt, we can't do both.
Congressman, is this an either-or proposition?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, look, the fact of the matter is, those of us on the Republican side have been talking for a long period of time about true tax reform, getting rid of a number of the deductions, credits, if some people would call it distortions in the tax code, which allow some people to pay effectively no tax at all, and flatten the tax rate, that is, bring it down and make it more rational and make it actually more efficient in an economic sense, meaning that people in our economy who want to take risk and want to actually go forward in creating new products and services for their fellow citizens and therefore new jobs would not be waylaid by figuring out which is the way that they could hide their income from taxes in a legal sense. So we've been arguing that for a long period of time. The president, unfortunately, tries to take it into a question of us versus them as opposed to all of us together. He had a little bit of a rhetorical sleight of hand last night where he started talking about billionaires and ranting about billionaires not paying taxes, and then within a sentence talked about, therefore, we're going to have anybody who makes over $250,000 a year pay these higher taxes. Well, if you understand the nature of the construction of jobs in this country and our reliance on small business, you understand that a large percentage, I think the largest percentage of small business people, don't have their income protected, in a sense, through a corporate tax structure, but it's pass-through income. So they're actually paying at individual rates, but that $250,000 reflects everything they take in for the business. And so what he was saying on the one hand was, we got to sock it to the wealthiest and then within a sentence was defining the wealthiest as a large portion of our small business people, and then telling us we need to create incentives of all sorts of kinds for a small business community. It doesn't make sense when you stack all those things together, and unfortunately the only thing, the only common thread through all of that is an us versus them, the bad guys being the rich guys, all the rest of us being treated unfairly. And you know, that's not leadership, and frankly, that's not going to help us, and it's going to exacerbate the way things are going. And all of this planted on a field of a rosy scenario where the president's saying, hey, look at all the jobs we're creating. That just doesn't ring true in my part of the world.
Congressman, another issue that he addressed, although pretty briefly, but I know is important to you on Homeland Security and Judiciary, is immigration. The president essentially saying all the complaints about border security have been addressed, so now it's time for comprehensive immigration reform. What was your reaction to that statement and what he means by it?
Well, I'm disappointed for a couple reasons. One is that's the same phrase that was used by President Bush, comprehensive immigration reform. That is not acceptable to the American people. They have given it a certain content, that certain content to that language, which suggests amnesty. And so as soon as you start using that phraseology, you're basically defeating any possibility of getting something of substance. And while I believe that we need to not only continue with what the president has been doing, and they have increased border security, although we still need to do more, we need to do more interior enforcement. Frankly, we need to come up with a way that makes employer sanctions both effective and fair to the employer. We need to have a temporary worker program for agriculture, which means that we, the United States citizenry, through our elected representatives in our government, would control who comes in. We would decide how long they stay. We would decide where they go. And we would work on a program that would have them return and create incentives for them to return to their home country. And then we can talk about some of these other things the president's talked about. But the president gives us the whole hog thing. And frankly, that sets it up for defeat and has him make it a political issue for the election rather than moving us towards solving any of the problems that he referred to. One of the things I do think that needs focus, and he mentioned it just briefly, is the fact that we do attract some of the brightest young men and women from around the world to come to our colleges and universities to get undergraduate and graduate degrees, particularly in the sciences, in engineering, in math, in areas that are absolutely important to us across the board, but particularly high tech. And then we make it very difficult for them to stay here and be the hub around which other jobs would be created. That is a particular problem, and that's one that we probably should try and address specifically and individually. But when the president lumps it in with everything else, I think he makes a mistake. And when he takes the DREAM Act, he didn't call it the DREAM Act, but when he talks about basically allowing all the young people who are here illegally actually be put on the path for citizenship as long as they go to school or do military service, what he's doing is he's equating the sacrifice of military service with the quote-unquote sacrifice of being a college student. If you watch the debates with Newt and with Mitt and with the other candidates, you notice that they actually parsed that sentence or made a distinction between military service and other things. The president didn't do that. He just basically said to the Congress, do that now. Again, it was a rhetorical flourish. It was a political point made, but it did not advance the discussion that is needed in a very, very difficult set of policy issues.
Last question before we let you go, sir. The president, whether it's the recess appointments or some other areas where he's taken, I guess, unilateral action on, again, told Congress, either act or I will do whatever I can to act without you. What's your sense as a lawyer, member of the Judiciary Committee, about where the president's flirting with that line on the separation of powers or whether he's well within his purview to do what he's suggested he would do?
Well, I think the president in some ways has fallen under the spell of his own words. He ought to look at the words of the Constitution. Last time I checked, Article 1 refers to the Congress of the United States. The Founding Fathers didn't get around to the presidency and the executive branch till Article 2. I happen to think that was for intended reasons. I think they understand that while you need an executive, the essence of a democratic process is having a democratic republic is having your elected representatives meet together to hash out issues and to pass laws. The president's supposed to faithfully execute the laws. What he suggested to us last night is that we're under the whip of the executive and we're supposed to do what he wants when he wants it. And if we don't, then he can take a unilateral action that supersedes the legislative will of the people. I think that's wrong. I think he's flirting with constitutional transgressions. I think the idea that the executive branch can determine the rules of the House or the Senate as to when we are in recess and when we are not is absurd. The Constitution is very, very clear. We establish the rules for the operations of our separate chambers. And if, in fact, he can make recess appointments, that is, appointments that are during the recess of the Congress and thereby get around the advice and consent of the Senate, it turns the Constitution on its head. It basically means that we are under the spur of the presidency. That's just not the way our system works. And I know from a president's standpoint, that makes things more difficult. He can't just command and have everything done. Well, that's what our founding fathers envisioned. They envisioned making it difficult to pass legislation for two reasons. One is they wanted us to avoid the fads of the day. But secondly, it's the greatest, and this is more important, it is the greatest single protection of our liberties. It's the construct of the government established by the Constitution that is probably more powerful in terms of its protection of our individual rights and liberties than is any one of the Bill of Rights, any one of the amendments that make up the Bill of Rights. And when a president doesn't respect that, I am very concerned, and frankly, the American people ought to be very concerned.
Congressman, we'll certainly keep watching to see if and when he exercises that reach again. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thank you.
California Republican Congressman Dan Lundgren represents his state's 3rd Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.